Amen. Father God, we just bless you this day, Father, Lord, because of who you are. You're our Lord God Almighty. Lord, we stand in your awesome presence this day, Lord, because you've ordained it for that purpose, Lord. Lord, that we might gather together as your people and come before you, Father, with our praise, our worship, Father. Everything we have is yours, Lord. So, Lord, we stand with grateful hearts this day. Lord, be you, because you've called us, each one, to be your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's really good to be back in action again after having a holiday to a break and spending a week and a half on the farm and seeing a couple of nice little calves being born and all that sort of thing, and just relaxing and coming back again. But as I've said many times before, we never know what a day will bring, do we? What tomorrow will bring. And so last Sunday week we went to church. We visited a couple of churches while we're having our break too, but went to church on the Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'd done a very spiritual thing. I went to the MCG to see the Aussies play the South Africans, and during the game I started to get very shivery and all that sort of thing and had this sort of chill came. And so Monday morning I was very sick and ended up in the casualty department down to Sunshine Hospital and spent the next 6 days recuperating there. I came down with a severe fever and a bout of cellulitis, but right from the very moment I walked in the hospital, God was there, amen? And God even, thank you, Lewis, God even placed a Christian doctor, a Baptist guy from Glenburthy Baptist Church there to look after me, so I got the royal treatment because we just happened to mention, he says, what do you do? And so you tell people. And even with the nursing staff on it, there was 5 of the nurses that attended me. They all attend one of the churches here in the Brimbank. So, you know, God placed people to really look after me. And so I had a week at full care and accommodation and all that sort of thing in the hospital. But thanks for your prayer and your concerns. And I'm starting to feel really well again. And it's just good to be up and about again and just to do what God wants us to do. Amen? Amen. But, yes, thank you. But as I said, it certainly wasn't the way I'd planned to spend our holiday break. My wife had all these things planned. We're going to visit this one and that one. But, of course, we didn't get to visit this one and that one. So there's a lot of things happening at the moment, isn't there? Especially all the sporting events, the tennis centre, everyone barracking for their favourite tennis players and watching the tennis, the tour down under in South Australia, the big bike race there. It's just amazing how them guys fly around on those bikes. Going up the Yalanka Hill yesterday and the Adelaide Hills, and they're just putting all their might and power just to get up over the hill, and then they go belting down the hill, reach 100 k's, 100 kilometres an hour on a bike. It's pretty scary, I feel, you know, and especially one of the crashes, they had a great pile-up on the second day, and some of the guys got put out the race, but it just makes you shudder all over when you see these guys hurtling down at breakneck speeds flying around these hills in these breaks. You know, I think it takes amazing feats and strength by these guys to do what they do on the bikes. But all this stuff happening about us, and even during the week, the great historical week where we had President Barack Obama in his inauguration ceremony in the United States, a really powerful time in the history of our world today. But a lot of things happening, but in Obama's speech, I thought he brought many profound concepts and precepts during his speech, and about the challenges facing not only America but the world over, isn't it? The world's in a pretty sorry state financially, and it's so true, you know. We store up all these things, but our treasure is in heaven, isn't it? And so we can't put our trust in earthly things, can we? But we've seen how this man, Barack Obama, spoke. He spoke passionately about how the tide can be turned by working together in harmony and everyone flowing in the same direction. You heard that before? Many times, haven't we? But he used quotes and sayings that you've heard numerous times from here on the platform here at Grow Church. But I just found it very interesting, some of the biblical and scriptural concepts that he used to emphasize his message to his fellow Americans and to the world who was just listening in. But one part of that speech that really got my attention, and he quoted this. He said, "On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear and unity of purpose over conflict and discord." I thought that was pretty powerful. We've heard that. We've said these things before. But to hear that, you know, across a great network of media and television, all that type of thing, but to say that, you know, this is that God-given promise that's being given to each and every one of us, that when God gave us this choice, that we're able to choose hope over fear. And everyone who's here today has taken that path. You've chosen to take the path, to put your hope in the things of God. And you have that hope, and you're not living in the past where you're bound up in fear and all that type of thing, and troubled over discord and conflict and all that type of thing. But we've chosen that road to take, that we've chosen hope over fear, that we can lead a victorious life. And I think that's really great. And he went on to say, "On this day, we come to proclaim an end to petty grievances and false promises." And that speaks to every one of us, doesn't it? That today we've come again, you know, to reaffirm that, you know, that we've put aside these things, and we can stand in the things and the promises of God. And because we know in politics all the recriminations and worn out dogmas, you know, they just strangle the whole political scene. But one thing I feel we could say for us, we can apply it to our lives, that we could say that for far too long we have allowed things of the past, things that we would not let go, strangle our walk in God. Strangle our walk in God and in our relationships with others. We've allowed these things to just put a real hold on things, and we've never just broken out into the freedom and the things that in God and the freedom that Christ, that Jesus died to set us free. But we allow all these broken relationships, we allow all the things of the past just to strangle our walk in the things of God. And so I say to us all today, it's time to put an end to them all, and to leave them and to bury them, to move on and into the new life that God's given us in and through Christ Jesus. But Obama went on to say, he says, "We remain a young nation, but in the words of the scripture," these are his words, "but in the words of the scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things." You heard that before? Yes, of course you have. And so he said that. He said, the time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose a better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, that God-given promise that all are equal and all are free and all deserve a chance to pursue the full measure of happiness. Powerful words again, but words that you've heard spoken here many, many times, and as we've brought forth the Word of God, just encouraging and reassuring people that it is a noble idea, it is a grand idea, that we do pass on this precious gift that God has given to us, that we pass it on from generation to generation, our godly inheritance, our Christian inheritance, but to pursue the full measure and the potential of the things that God has for every one of us. And so I say to you this today, church, to apply this to your lives. Reaffirm your Christian heritage. Reaffirm your enduring spirit. Reaffirm these things. Claim and choose a better way for your generation to follow. God wants us to walk in that path that He has chosen for each and every one of us, that will aspire and achieve everything that God has placed before us, that we will be the people God wants us to be. Amen? And so God wants us to walk in these ways, and He wants us to leave a testimony, to leave a legacy that others might walk in. So I say to you, fulfill your purpose and your God-given destiny, and to see that your hope in God, that's for you people, that's for you church, that's for us, that should be our cry, and we can cry out and sing, our hope is in you, Lord, amen? That's the thing we want to do, to have this fixation in our hearts, that God is our hope, God is our strength, that God is our refuge, and Him we're going to trust. I put my hope in you, Lord. I don't trust the things down here. I trust in you, Lord. And so we aspire to that, don't we? And we cling to that precious promise and the promise of God, that God is our strength. And when we meet people, we tell people about this hope, and when they question it, we must be prepared to give an answer, don't we? As 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says that always we must be prepared to give an answer about this hope. And I'll just read it when I find it again. But as the scripture says, we must be prepared always to give an answer and to speak out and to testify about this God-given hope that is within us. I've got a new little thin Bible here and I'm having trouble finding Peter. I've got him. Right, in chapter 3, what did I say? Verse 18, was it? In the red light there. Okay, 3:15. I think I'll read the verse 14 too. It says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear. Remember that word we have chosen, hope over fear. And it says, you will do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. We are not to be afraid. But here in verse 15, the key scripture, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Amen? That's what we have to do, that Jesus has to have that primary place in our hearts, His primary place in our lives, that primary place in our Christian walk. And so the word here says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you a reason for the hope that you have. Amen? So really great words there that encourage us as to why we should testify about this God-given faith, of about my walk in with the Lord Jesus. I went to my niece's wedding a fortnight or so ago, and we sat on the table there, and we sat opposite this person. I think he proclaimed to be a bit of a philosopher or something, but his name was Rick. But Rick's a salesman. So he got the real gift of the gab. He wasn't short of a word, I can tell you. And Rick travels around all the shopping plazas and all the malls, and he sells this product, but he's one of these real yappers. He's like a drover's dog. He just didn't shut up. But anyway, we get talking there, and of course he asks a question. What do you do with yourself? I said, well, Rick, I'm a minister. And I'm a pastor, an associate pastor in a church out in St. Albans, a church now called Grow Church, giving the works. And so he said, I won't hold that against you. I said, oh, that's nice, Rick. Anyway, he gets going, and of course he asks my wife what she does, and she tells him how she ministered all these people and all that sort of thing. And he starts telling us what rotten people there are in the world, you know. And we're saying, well, Rick, this is the people we're reaching. This is the people God wants to bring into his kingdom. These are the people that God wants to change. And that's our commission. That's what God's given us to do. So we go on talking about all these things, and he's having a few drinks, and he's getting real full of the Spirit, but not the Spirit of God. So he's pretty fired up and pretty charged up, and he just didn't want to let go. He kept coming back, asking more and more, so he got more and more. But and he says, well, in all this, he said, what's your testimony? What's your legacy? What do you believe? Or what would you like people to think about you? And I had to think pretty quick to get this in a nutshell. So I said, Rick, I think the prime essence would be that I love the Lord God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength, and also I love my neighbour as myself. He says, well, I like that bit about the neighbour. So he got that bit anyway. But you see what I'm saying? We need to give an answer of why we have this hope in God. And without giving the full gospel, I had to try and give it in half a dozen words. And at the end of the night, I said, we were saying goodbye, and he said, oh, well, you do all these things, and he said, that'll never happen to me. Never happen to me. I said, don't say never, Rick. I said, it could happen to you as it happened to me or any other person. I said, God just wants to take hold of you, Rick, grab hold of you, and embrace you in his arms and love you and just immerse you in new life-giving water, a new life. I'll see you later. But, so, you know, that's what I'm saying. We need to be able to give an answer. And no matter, I don't know, you could say, well, you're casting your pearls before a swine, but God died for Rick just as much as he did for me. And that's a message that we have to take to the hurting community out there. There's hundreds, thousands of Ricks that, you know, just think they have been. He reckons he got the answers for life, and he's been made money and lost a whole lot in homes and marriages and everything, but he's got all the answers. So he thinks, but so, you know, I just feel we just have to push in, don't we, and to reach out and to speak out. But we need to have a slogan. We have to have that realisation and hope and which God speaks so encouragingly about. That the Word of God is full of hope, isn't it? As we read, you know, we draw from Scripture. That gives us the strength, the hope. And the hope that things will come to pass no matter what. That we can look ahead and see that in this hope, God will do amazing things. Amen? This year, God's going to do amazing things in our midst as we put our hope. And And as we look ahead in the year ahead, having that assurance and confidence in God. Confidence is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just ask some of these sportsmen and people who either fail or make it in life, you know. But, you know, we either thrive on confidence or you fall through the lack of it. And so, but we have this confidence in God, so we don't fall. We don't stumble. And we don't stammer because, you know, the Lord is my strength. And so we cling to him. Confidence in knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. And so being confident, it brings an air of excitement, doesn't it? Where we can get about and we can be happy in life and contented in life because of this confidence we have in Christ Jesus. And that needs to be a part of our Christian makeup and character, this aroma that we want others to get hold of, you know, the things of God, the things of Christ, and to inhale and experience the goodness of God. God wants to use me. God wants to use you. God wants to use every one of us just to rise up, to stand up, and to do the things that he wants us to in a far greater capacity than ever before. And, you know, together we can, can't we? As we draw upon each other, as we strengthen one another, together we can. At the moment, there's a promo on TV about a weight loss program. Do you know what their slogan is? Anyone know? What's that? No, this is about a weight loss program. What are they going to do? What are they saying? Together we can. Together we can, can't we? That should be our hope. So, you know, what are they saying? They said, we're never going to look like this again. They're saying we're going to be determined. We're going to show courage and trust. And we're going to commit ourselves. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to change. And they say, together we will. Surely this should be our cry, isn't it? It should be what we're all about. Together we can. We're never going to be like we were before because we're going to change. Because God is bringing us from glory to glory. And things are going to change in our lives. That we know we're going to be determined to make things happen again. With this determination, we're going to show strength and courage and we're trusting in everything. And we're going to be committed to this church, to the things of God. And we're going to be disciplined. We are going to change because together we will. Amen? Together we will. Together we can do better things. And so, as I said before, this should be our battle cry. This should be the church's anthem. Together we can, we will do whatever it takes to make things happen, to make a difference, about getting excited about our faith. And so the question and challenge I put to us all today and ask, this year what can I do better? This year what can I do better? This year how can I serve God in my church? This year, how can I serve my leadership? This year, how can I serve my brothers and sisters in a more caring way? This year, am I prepared to grow more in the things of God? Am I prepared to grow? Am I prepared to be stretched? Am I prepared to be prepared to rise up into those things? This year, will I be prepared to commit and submit to making my Christian experience a real way of life. That coming to church and having regular fellowship will be my first priority. And this will be the way of life for me and my family. Can you make that happen this year for yourself, for your families? That you commit and make that a regular thing. And not just about coming when it's convenient. It's about centering your whole life around the things of God. Not the things of your life. put them the other way around. God has to come first. That this year, that I'm going to be giving back to God, tithing regularly, will become a natural part of my life. That this year I will give everything back to God. This whole package, this whole tithing packing of praise, prayer, worship, giving of your finances, giving of yourself, giving your time. This will be the deal I make with you, Lord, and I want this to be a real part of my life this year. Will I change? Will I change this year? Will I make a change in my life? I say to us all, set the example, folks. Set the example, parents. Be the example and commit your ways to God. Amen. And to have that saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a powerful verse from the book of Joshua. A powerful scripture. And this should be a lifelong theme for you and your household. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think there's nothing better in life that you can say that for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And your house, that includes your whole family and beyond that, and reaching out. And so, as we see today, that today's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it just reminds us so much of, how much good that we can do together when we work together. Because what does Jesus say? He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Someone will have to help me. I've got a blank. 18:18. I tell you the truth. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, you ask for it, and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you. That's a powerful promise of God, that we are able to have the power and the presence of God when we gather together in His mighty name. And so we see, what a better way to start life. What a better experience to have than Jesus Christ in your midst. That Jesus Christ is the center of your household. And He is the whole focus of your life. So what a great start. God has given us a tremendous starting point, a great foundation that we can launch out from, and to have Jesus standing in our midst, in the very midst there with us. But the Christian life is not a solitary experience. You're not on your own, are we? Because Christ has given us that promise Himself. He said, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to be standing there with you. I'll be standing alongside you. And I'll be there with you, helping you all the way. And you will never walk alone. It's not me, it's we, isn't it? Together we can. Together we can. And again, I say, the only time it's when you're communing with Christ. Amen? Or when you're in personal evangelism. But every other time it's we. Together we can. And so we see that the Lord makes it clear how important we are to Him, how important we are to Jesus Christ, that each and every person, God loves you, that we are important to Him. And in our link to one another through Christ, there's power in community. There's power in coming together, isn't it? We gain that strength. And so we see that here in our Christian community, we are uniting together, aren't we? The values the values of God to our values, and that God has given us, we bring them together here on earth. And so we see that This is how Jesus enables us to use God's power for making healing and life-giving love more effective among God's people. You know, God just welds us together, doesn't he? Draws us together. We come together. We stay together. We work together, all in the Lord's name, don't we? We just bringing the focus, the presence of God, and unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' wonderful name. We do that to transform our lives. We do that to transform the lives of others. That is the people who don't know Jesus. And most of all, we do that to enhance the life of all God's children. Amen. So again, I'm going to close in my last verse here and say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in your midst. A church, be encouraged that God is there, that Christ is in our midst, and he wants to be our strength. He wants to be our shield. He wants to be our fortress. And as we do that, as we put our hope and trust in him, we will change. We will make a difference in this community. We will make a difference the world over if each one of us take on that mantle and stand up and do what the scripture says, that we might be prepared to give an answer, to testify of the goodness of Christ. Amen? Amen. That Lord God, again, we give you thanks, Lord. We bless you. We thank you, Father God. Lord, that you've laid these things upon our hearts. Lord, that we can stand in your presence this day. Lord, because we have made that choice. We have put aside childish things. We've put away childish ideas. We've put away the things of the past. That, Lord, we can stand together united as one in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that we made that choice, Father God. Lord, you put that before us, and you said you can stand in the hope. You can stand in that hope of having me in your life. And so, Lord, we just thank you again for your wonderful and precious promise, the confidence that you give us, the hope that you give us, Lord, the path that you've laid before us. Lord, that this year, each one of us will say in our hearts, I will make a change. I will be different. This year, I will make changes. Lord, that you will be my first priority. Lord, you will be the first one I look to. Lord, I will always call upon you and look to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.